This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa la 'udwana illa 'alal zalimin wal 'aqibatu lil muttaqin. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik 'ala 'abdika wa rasulika Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman katheera. So the title is speaking about none other than our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it actually comes out of a conversation that Aisha radiallahu anha had with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where she asked him very, you know, point blank, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَيْكَ يَوْمْ كَانَ أَشَدَّ مِنْ يَوْمِ أُحُدْ. Has there ever been a day in your life harder than the day of Uhud? Why would Aisha ask that question? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was almost killed on the day of Uhud. He was struck in multiple directions. His teeth were knocked out. His helmet was knocked into his head, so he had wounds all over his face. He couldn't even walk at one point because of how struck he was on the day of Uhud. The blood was flowing from the Prophet ﷺ for hours after Uhud. There's a narration where Fatima radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anhu were trying to clean the wounds of the Prophet ﷺ on the day of Uhud, and they could not. They realized that they were pouring water into the shield of Ali, and they were pouring the water on the Prophet ﷺ, and the blood just kept on flowing and flowing and flowing. So he bled more on the day of Uhud than any other day. His wounds were worse on the day of Uhud than any other day of his life. And he, of course, lost some very beloved people to him on that day. And it was a difficult day for the Muslims, the day of the Battle of Uhud. So Aisha, being married to the Prophet ﷺ at that time, he's telling the Prophet ﷺ, you know, have you ever had a worse day of your life? And the Prophet ﷺ goes on to say that the worst day of my life was the last day of Ta'if, where he ended up being rejected by the people. You know, the culmination of that rejection, to where they rejected him and they stoned him and they cursed him and they humiliated him while he walked for miles and miles and miles until the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, eventually landing in Qarna Tha'alib, in that final place where he rested and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah sent the angels to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, I don't want to go too far into the hadith or the story of Ta'if, because I think that everyone knows the story of Ta'if. But if you were to take the wounds of Uhud and compare them to the wounds of Ta'if, the wounds that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffered on the day of Ta'if were nothing compared to the wounds of Uhud. In Ta'if, the Prophet ﷺ was stoned and punched. They threw rocks at him and punched him for miles and cursed him. And he did have blood all over his body. And he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have stones in his shoes. So he suffered. I mean, it was physically a very difficult day for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. But in Uhud, he almost died. What makes the day of Ta'if so much worse than the day of Uhud? All right? When on the outside, it looks like the Prophet ﷺ was harmed so much more on the day of Uhud. And that's where the discussion goes into the invisible wounds that we often don't see. And subhanAllah, I once had a brother who was complaining to me about the way that people treated his daughter. And his daughter was someone that had several mental health challenges. It's beyond her control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, right? And he was talking about, he said, you know, subhanAllah, there's like no sympathy for her because of those mental health challenges, right? If she was walking around with the physical challenge that would be the equivalent of that challenge, then she would much more likely gain some sympathy from people. But there was no sympathy towards her with her very real mental health struggle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure her and cure all of those that are ailing, be it a spiritual ailment, a mental ailment, a physical ailment, or whatever it may be. Allahumma ameen. And I want to really take the time to reflect on that for a moment, because even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling Aisha radiallahu anha, Ta'if hurt much more than Uhud. Even though no one who would, if you were to take the image of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Ta'if and put it next to the image of the day of Uhud, he looked like he was in such a worse condition on the day of Uhud than he was on the day of Ta'if. But the emotional pain, the pain of rejection, the pain of humiliation, the pain of not knowing what was coming next, right? You know, the Prophet ﷺ did not have a large ummah with him at that time, The da'wah looked like it was dying. He didn't have a wife to run to at the time. I mean, it was a very difficult day for the Prophet ﷺ, and in ways that most people would not have been able to understand. Yet, subhanAllah, physically he was wounded more in Uhud. And subhanAllah, on both of those days, the Prophet ﷺ sought forgiveness for the people that harmed him. On the day of Uhud, which you would have thought was his worst day, the Prophet ﷺ was saying, "Allahumma khfirli qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun." Oh Allah, forgive my people, they just don't know any better. That was with no teeth in his mouth and the blood flowing and flowing and flowing, and the helmet stuck in his head. He's still saying with no teeth, with his front teeth knocked out and the blood flowing from his mouth, those beautiful words, "Oh Allah, forgive my people, they don't know any better." On the day of Ta'if, the angels came to the Prophet ﷺ on that day in Qarna Tha'ala. Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel, came to him and introduced to him the angel who would move the mountains, that would crush the people between Al-Akhshabain, crush the people of Mecca and Ta'if. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying, you know, leave them, because it may be that their children, that there will be from their children those who bear witness to the oneness of God, those who arise from that generation, and they will be different than their parents. So in both of those days, the two worst days of his life, presumably, you know, the Prophet ﷺ was offered a chance to exterminate, to harm the people that harmed him, and he did not, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some reflections for us. We have to become more aware of our own invisible wounds. We have to become more aware of the invisible wounds that we sometimes cause, and we have to become more aware of the invisible wounds that we so often ignore, okay, in other people around us. Our own invisible wounds, it's important for us to take the time to really try to come to terms with why we feel the way that we do, why we might be hurting in certain ways, and to really reflect and to try to seek out the proper protocol, the proper treatments, whatever that is, right? To be able to treat those, that pain that we might have, right? And of course, the greatest treatment starts from a place of faith and spirituality, but it doesn't always end there. So thinking about what's next, how do I bring myself to really understand myself better, and then to take the necessary actions to make sure that I'm taking care of myself so that I can be more able to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to serve the people. So our own invisible wounds. The invisible wounds that we cause. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek refuge in Allah, and indeed, you know, to cause oppression is far worse than to be oppressed. Because to be oppressed is to suffer in this world. To oppress someone else is to suffer in the hereafter. To face the punishment for that in the hereafter. So be the servant of Allah that is wronged. Do not be the servant of Allah that wrongs. Be the servant of Allah that's maqtul, that is killed. Don't be the one that kills. Don't be the one that causes that harm. To think very deeply in the midst of our stress, in the midst of our anger, in the midst of our own uncertainty, in the midst of our own wounds, whether we are saying things to the people that are close to us that are harming them in ways that could really damage them, that could really, really damage them. And you know, this is a temporary time of uncertainty. Sometimes we do things in temporary times of uncertainty that have permanent consequences, right? They damage relationships and damage people for a very, very long time, permanently in this life. And we have to be very careful not to say things or do things that would harm others in the midst of that. And you know, subhanAllah, especially if we're quarantined around people or we're talking to people, we can say really hurtful things because of how we're hurting right now, right? And just say something that would really cause pain to someone and strike at. And you know, subhanAllah, the shaitan, he knows how to direct your tongue in a painful way, in a way that causes pain to someone. You know someone else's insecurities, you know what really gets on their nerves, you know what really bothers them. And in the midst of an argument, you want to inflict pain. And sometimes you inflict an invisible wound. And it's not like you cut someone and the blood flows and then you bandage it up. It's you hurt someone deeply and you might apologize, but the wound is still flowing. And you don't want to cause that wound in the first place, and be very careful with the things that you say. So right now in particular, while everyone is hurting in very weird ways and strange ways, don't cause harm. Don't cause those invisible wounds to others. And the third one is ignoring other people's invisible wounds. We need to pay very, very close attention. You know, I've told people this before, subhanAllah, that when you think about social media, sometimes you see someone lashing out on social media and we think it's funny, or people poke fun at it. People will comment and say things and, you know, you know, enjoy the moment. Sometimes someone will suddenly put out their sins, right? So there will be a change in their life for the worse in terms of spirituality, and they'll flaunt that change. And the only thing that we can do is talk about how, astaghfirullah, how could that person do that? The believer, you know, who wants to be a mirror to the brother or sister does not just want to condemn the obvious sin, if there is an obvious sin, or the lashing out or some of the words, but to actually say, I hope that person's okay. And if there's a way for me to access that person, I want to call them and say, hey, are you doing all right? You know, I'm just calling to check up on you. Is everything okay? Is there something, do you want to talk about anything, right? Not in a judgmental way, but in a way that demonstrates that, hey, I'm just checking up on you. Are you okay? What can I say to you right now? What can I do? What can we talk about right now, right? Think about what it is that maybe I was ignoring. So paying closer attention to those wounds that aren't as obvious, especially when there are signs, warning signs. We can't afford to ignore those warning signs. And subhanAllah, ihsan on top of that, excellence on top of that, is to think about some of the people that are not lashing out online, are not sending concerning text messages, but you know that they're right now probably suffering due to some circumstances that would make this condition, that would make this pandemic even more hurtful to them. So reaching out to them in particular, when people probably are not reaching out to them. SubhanAllah, sometimes our silence is more harmful than our speech. Sometimes not checking in, just completely ignoring someone, forgetting about someone is more painful than even checking in the wrong way, right? So again, three things, because we learn from the Prophet ﷺ that invisible wounds sometimes are much worse than the visible wounds. They hurt more. The Prophet ﷺ hurt more from his invisible wounds. So the lesson for us is three things. Number one, being more conscious and reflective and taking the necessary steps to cure our own invisible wounds when we can. Number two, being extremely cautious about causing those invisible wounds to other people. Number three, ihsan, checking up on people when we sense that there may be some things that give us signs, right? The equivalent of flowing blood and an obvious cut that give us signs that someone's really hurting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our brothers and sisters that are hurting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hurting others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and guide us and give us clarity and guide us to the right way to how to deal with this situation and all situations that arise. Allahumma ameen. So jazakumullah khairan once again. I'm glad that so many of you are excited about the Ramadan series. We will have a lot going on in Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. So please stay tuned and thank you for your encouraging words and your du'as personally. A lot of you have checked in. A lot of you have sent du'as. I really do appreciate them. And please keep my family in your du'a as you're making du'a for others, inshallah ta'ala. And I look forward to being with you all, inshallah ta'ala, throughout Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live to see Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to attain His pleasure. Allahumma ameen. So I'll see you all tomorrow. Webinar.yaqeeninstitute.org, inshallah ta'ala. And then we'll get back to the nightly reflection on Thursday. Jazakallah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.